fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder retains his title with a devastating knockout of fellow American Dominic Brazil in Brooklyn, New York City.
They say speed is power, but if you have power on top of speed, I don't know what to call my right hand anymore. You know what I mean? Atomic bomb, dynamite.
It's the hammer of Thor.
The hammer of Thor.
Nnamdi, how would you describe that knockout punch?
A lot of people have called it the money punch. Electric shock. Devastating right hand. One punch KO. I will call it a 1-2 combination because he led with the left jab and then he dropped the hammer, which was the right hand, and that was it. And Dominic Brazil went down flat.
Did Dominic Brazil do anything wrong?
His defense was down and he walked right into the big right hand, and you don't go toe-to-toe with a dangerous puncher like Deontay Wilder. All I was expecting him to do was grab and hold and box for a few rounds, but going toe-to-toe with him in the first round. Mind you, this was less than one round, Sonny.
Mm.
He got blown away, so I expected him to hold or run or do something. He just decided to fight a macho fight, and he was knocked out.
In 2016, Brazil went 7 rounds with Anthony Joshua. What does this say that Wilder knocked him out in less than a round?
Go back and look at that fight. Anthony Joshua was still learning, and, you know, Brazil was dangerous heavyweight at a point. But people now compare that performance with what Wilder did to Brazil. It just shows you right there that if you stand toe-to-toe with Deontay Wilder, you stand a very good chance of being knocked out. Quite simple. You don't do that. A good boxer can box, and then you tag his chin once a while, get him to move those skinny legs, then you can get him. But going there toe-to-toe, that was a big mistake for Dominic Brazil.
Nnamdi, what got into Dominic Brazil's head saying the referee stopped the fight too early?
He did not realize he would just be knocked out. When a guy gets knocked out, I've been in that situation, they'll ask you, what happened? Where are we? That means the head has been rattled, you know. He needs to thank the referee. He needs to send flowers to the referee because, mind you, the referee counted till 10. And when he got up, you saw how he wobbled, you know. If the referee had allowed Deontay to step right in there, we'll be talking about a different thing right now. It would have been total destruction.
Nnamdi, I remember you saying that Wilder needed to put on weight. What did he weigh for this fight against Brazil?
He weighed 223 pounds and a quarter. Brazil weighed 255. He was outweighed by 30+ pounds. Remember when he fought Tyson Fury, he was light. And I said, you know, he needs to put on weight. When he did, guess what happened? He can knock out a cow or a horse now, Sonny, because it was hard for Brazil to get up. If he puts in another, let's say maybe another 15 to 20 more pounds, he'll be real Hercules because he can punch.
What's next for Deontay Wilder?
They're talking about a rematch with Luis King Kong Ortiz from Cuba. You remember, Luis Ortiz had Deontay Wilder in deep trouble. We even thought that all he needed to do was come right back. Deontay would have been gone. So now the rematch is what they're talking about in September. Then he'll go in the spring with Adam Kowalski, undefeated Polish heavyweight. So his plate is full now. I'm talking about Wilder because he's a knockout artist, and the division is on fire, Sonny. Like we say in Hollywood, the division is lit, man, because with that knockout, man, you can't go wrong but to pay to see him do it again.
Tyson Fury will be fighting next month, Nnamdi. What about a rematch between Fury and Wilder?
That's not happening anytime soon because Tyson Fury fighting this unknown heavyweight from nowhere, which he will knock out. And then, because, Sonny, what would talk about with these heavyweight elite boxers, they're doing what we call marinating. They're marinating the fight, you know. The Tyson Fury knocking out this heavyweight in next month, and Deontay just did his thing. The money will keep going up, up and up, till whereby we're going to say, well, this fight will generate $300 million. Then everybody will decide, okay, let's break bread and make this fight. But right now, they can keep knocking out bombs on TV and the fight fans will go crazy. But there will come a time where the fight fans will say, look, we're not paying for this anymore. We need to see the real fight. You guys must fight one another.
Anthony Joshua will also be fighting in New York City against Andy Ruiz. How's this one shaping up?
Anthony Joshua is in Miami training right now, and from what we're seeing pictures, he's doing yoga, he's getting ready, he's relaxed. I am still worried about this fight, Sonny. Andy Ruiz is no joke. You can call him a fat cruiserweight, a lazy boxer and all that, but he's 32-1. He's what we call a pressure fighter. My homeboy better be ready because he has fast hands, he has power. If he can go past Anthony Joshua's jab and stay in the body and run the combination, we may see a fight that we never bargained for. If Anthony Joshua can catch him coming in with an uppercut, set him up with a left jab and drop the right uppercut and then bring back a left uppercut, then the fight would be over. Look, Andy Ruiz is dangerous for the first 5 rounds. Take that to the bank. If Anthony Joshua cannot take him out in the first 5 rounds, we're in for a rough night.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And Namdi says he'll be traveling to New York next week for ringside coverage of the Anthony Joshua-Andy Ruiz World Heavyweight title fight. The bout will be held June 1st at Madison Square Garden in New York. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association playoff action Tuesday night, the Toronto Raptors soared past the visiting Milwaukee Bucks to even the best of seven Eastern Conference Finals at 2 games each. The AP's John Letherby reports from Toronto, Canada.
The Raptors' 120-102 win featured something Toronto fans aren't used to. Kawhi Leonard did not dominate, noticeably hobbling throughout the game. He was held to just 19 points. That meant veteran Kyle Lowry needed to step up, and he did in a big way, finishing with a team-high 25 points.
We finally won a rebounding game, which was big for us. That was one of the keys to the game for us and one of the things we wanted to do tonight. And we had 32 assists. And, you know, it just worked out tonight that, you know, we played a good game. Now we have to go out there and continue to do what we've done, you know, and what we brought to the last 2 games and put it in game 5. And we know it's going to be tough, and we know they're going to come out amped and ready to go.
Milwaukee's Chris Middleton led all scorers. He had 30 points.
We talked about them. All their guys played well. They shared the ball. They moved the ball. Took advantage of some of our defensive coverages and just made shots.
Giannis Antetokounmpo had a double-double of 25 points and 10 boards. The Bucks look to hold home court with a win on Thursday night. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Waiting for the winner of the Bucks-Raptors series is the defending champion Golden State Warriors, who swept the Portland Trail Blazers in 4 straight games. To advance to the NBA Finals for a 5th year in a row. Joining us once again on the show is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. How are you?
I'm doing well. Bucks-Raptors, quite a series right now. Tied at 2 games each. What do you think about this series, Mwamoyo?
Tied it 2-2, and you and I, we called it last week that this is going to go to seven games, and that's the way it's looking right now. So far, both teams have done what they're expected to do, win at home. Because teams play better when they're at home. I mean, look at last night's game. Toronto had 6 players in double digits in scoring, while Milwaukee had only 3 players in double digits. Now, Kawhi Leonard didn't score a lot of points. He had only 19 points. But there are 5 other players who scored in double digit. So that makes, you know, it tells you when they're at home, they play, you know, very well. I mean, both teams, they're evenly matched in terms of, you know, how they run the ball, the rebounds and assists and all that. And they have successfully contained their star players in a game here, a game there. Antetokounmpo hasn't really been the Antetokounmpo of the regular season. And Leonard, he played well the last game where he scored 36 points, but last night he only had 19 points, and the first two games in Milwaukee, he didn't play very well.
Questions about Kawhi's health right now, Momoyo, that they said he was kind of limping a little bit last night. Your thoughts?
And that's going to be a very serious thing to watch. If indeed he's injured, then Toronto should forget this, because now it's best of three. There are only three more games to play, and two of those will be in Milwaukee. So they are going back to Milwaukee. Now, Toronto, if they want to win this series, they have to win the next game in Milwaukee so that they can finish it in Toronto. But if Milwaukee wins at home and they go back to Toronto, they can close it there. But even if they lose, they go back and play the last game, Game 7, at home. And this is what you play for the whole season. You play to get the home court advantage on Game 7.
Memorial, are the Raptors doing anything defensively to stop Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Yes, they're playing this zone defense against him. They're double teaming him. They're putting bodies on him. He doesn't get the chance to do those three big steps. So they're doing a lot of things. You know, see, when you play such a series, you know, players, coaches, they go back, you know, home and they watch the tapes. You know, they look at how can we contain him. And apparently they're doing, you know, a good job. Antetokounmpo and his coaches, they have to find a way of how am I going to go around it. What should I do when they double team me? When they put bodies on me, there's a zone defense. How do I make assists? How, you know, all those adjustments, and playoffs are all about that, adjustments.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm chatting with Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the Voice of America's Swahili Service Chief, about the NBA playoffs. Momoyo, we were talking about Giannis. Kind of a nice humanitarian story with Giannis. Tell our VOA listeners about
that. Yes, and this is one thing that the NBA encourages a lot, you know, giving back to the community. So there's Giannis was born in Greece. His parents are from Nigeria, but he was born in Greece. So there's in his neighborhood, there was a fire that, you know, that destroyed a basketball court. So he's putting up some funds so that he can rebuild that. You know, that's a very nice thing to do as a high caliber player who has gone all the way up there from down there. It's a very good thing for him to do.
Momoyo, I think last week I asked you whether the Blazers could win one or two games maybe against the Warriors, but
and
the Warriors
I said no way.
No, they brought the brooms out.
They're simply overmatched. They didn't have enough to match Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors are playing so well right now, even without KD. They went back to their, you know, their form before KD joined them. They're running the ball very fast. Draymond Green goes from one end of the court to the next to the other and scores or has an assist. So Golden State Warriors are cruising into the final for the fifth time. The last time that happened was in the 60s. Boston Celtics did that. So it's not an easy thing to do. Five times in the finals. It's unheard of.
Probably the most dominant team of our era, anyways.
Precisely. I mean, you know, if you leave out Chicago Bulls, who didn't go to the finals five times, but they won six titles, I mean, this is a very, very dominating team.
You mentioned Steph Curry in Game 4 against the Blazers. He had a triple-double. Draymond Green had a triple-double, both on the same team. Both of those guys really stepping up now.
It looks like as soon as KD got injured, Steph Curry and Draymond Green knew that the game was up. We have to go back to what we used to do. Now, KD's presence makes the game easy for Golden State Warriors because of his talent, his scoring ability. I mean, when he's on the court, you know, 45 points you have there. So, you know, Steph Curry can go low and he can, you know, score 19 or 25. But without him, the way they play now without him, they run a lot. You can see Steph Curry running around opposing players, finding that sweet spot when he will get the ball, rise up and shoot a three. But the problem is all that running, you know, can make them tired. And if they have to meet, say, Milwaukee Bucks in the final, and Milwaukee Bucks is a bigger team in terms of size, that could be a problem for Golden State Warriors. But, you know, that's another story because Milwaukee Bucks, they have Toronto to deal with first.
And also, the way the schedule is now, Momoyo, the NBA Finals scheduled to start on May 30th. So Golden State getting a nice rest ahead of the NBA Finals.
They have 9 days of rest. And guess what? Not only are they resting, there's possibility that KD could come back and a Boogie Cousin could come back. But even if KD doesn't come back, chances are Cousins might come back. And that would be a big boost to Golden State Warriors. But if KD also comes back, forget it.
The Raptors and the Bucks in a very hotly contested series. Do you see either one of those teams having a better chance against the Warriors in the NBA Finals?
Milwaukee will have a better chance simply because of their size. They are bigger in size. They will give a lot Golden State Warriors a lot of matchup problems. If they have to play Toronto, then the biggest player they have to contend with would be Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard knows Golden State Warriors. He is not scared of them. He's not intimidated by them because he has done numbers on them when he was with San Antonio Spurs. But with Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors, they will really need to have KD back and, say, Boogie Cousin. If they don't have KD, they'll be in big trouble. And that's a series that could go again to Game 7. And remember, Milwaukee Bucks have the home court advantage. Mm. Golden State Warriors would be playing, Game 7, if there is a Game 7 in Milwaukee.
And finally, Momoyo, the Warriors getting ready to move into a new arena next season in San Francisco. They're currently playing their home games in Oakland, California. That would be quite a treat to go into a new arena once again, being the NBA champions.
Being the NBA champions and, in a new place, nice city. You and I should go there.
San Francisco.
I mean, there's nothing more you can ask for. This is a championship team coming into San Francisco City. The city is warm, is beautiful, hilly, and all that nice urban stuff. And with a championship, that would be great.
Thanks, Momoyo. That's Momoyo Hoops Hamza, the VOA Swahili Service Chief. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football, a teenage girl from Cameroon is breaking down barriers and fulfilling her dream of playing the sport. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Gael Asheri's dream of becoming a professional footballer began 5 years ago when, at age 13, she watched her male cousins play the beautiful game outside her home in Yaoundé. Kids playing football along neighborhood roads was a familiar sight, and on that day, she decided to pick up the ball and kick it. And Asheri says she's never looked back.
This is the way I started playing football, in the quarter with my quarter mates and my brothers. As you've just seen, that's how I started playing. We usually organize tournaments where quarter plays against quarter. As you've seen, is the quarter, the up quarter who played against the down quarter.
But Asheri said back then it was tough to be a girl on the team. She was hardly passed the ball and was teased more intensely if she missed a goal. And although she remained determined and passionate about the sport, she found it hard to grow as a player and improve her game. But that all changed last January when Cameroon soccer star Gael Nganamoy opened her country's first soccer school for girls. Asheri was among the first wave of players admitted to the Rails Football Academy. And Asheri says since then, she has literally stepped up her game.
The training here, to be sincere, at the beginning, it was very difficult because I used to train with boys. So with boys, there are some exercises I was not allowed to do because I'm a girl. Example, like abdos. I was never allowed to do abdos just for the fact that I was a girl. I am fragile, from what the coach was saying. But reaching here, it was just another world. I was forced to do abdos, forced to do all hard work. So it reached a level where tears usually come out with sweat, mixed with sweat, because the exercises were so difficult. But with time, I learned and I coped up, and now I can do a complete training session, although harsh it is or hard it is.
Asheri calls Gael Nganamoy a hero and mentor, and rightly so. The Cameroonian striker was named the African Women's Footballer of the Year in 2015 and has been called the heartbeat of Cameroon. Nganamoy told FIFA earlier this year that it was important for her to create the academy so women would have their own space to train. And it's a space where Gael Asheri hopes to be good enough to play soccer at a professional level, like her benefactor and namesake.
The moves I'm working on right now is my shots, because my shots are not really what I want them to be. So I am perfect. I am trying to be have perfect shots from a distance, nearby. So I'm working on my shots and my technicity, improving my technicity capacity.
The girls play in different categories according to their age and face off against all male sides. And their trainers keep a watchful eye as they hone their skills. Asheri says she always strives to aim higher, and her love of the game is just as strong as the first day she picked up a soccer ball.
It is in playing football that I find myself. It's in playing football that I can express myself in 100% in a field. That is, when I want to make a control, I do it. I want to trap, I do it. That is, I completely express myself in a football milieu.
Women's soccer has seen a surge in popularity. A record-breaking 750 million television viewers watched the 2015 FIFA Women's World Cup. And the ruling body expects that number to grow at this year's tournament, where Gael Nganamoy is set to make her second World Cup appearance. Cameroon is one of three teams that will represent Africa, along with Nigeria and South Africa. The 2019 Women's World Cup kicks off in France in 17 days on June 7th. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon are in Group E at the Women's World Cup in France, along with Canada, New Zealand, and the Netherlands. The Cameroonian women will play their opening match against Canada on June 10th. The Super Falcons of Nigeria are in Group A at the Women's World Cup, along with France, South Korea, and Norway. The Nigerian women will play their opening match against Norway on June 8th. And the third African team going to France, Banyana Banyana of South Africa, is in Group B, along with Germany, China, and Spain. The South African women will play their opening match against Spain on June 8th. The United States is the defending Women's World Cup champion. The American women will be bidding for their fourth world title in France. The USA is in Group F for the first round, along with Thailand, Chile, and Sweden. The USA will play their opening match against Thailand on June 11th. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, @VOA Sunny Sports. And that wraps up the May 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Rob McLean. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, across the United States are numerous African diaspora associations. Many strive to preserve their culture or have advocacy goals. The role of the African diaspora in the United States.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
And to AU, African Youth, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Have you ever wondered how much our home galaxy weighs? Well, according to recent measurements astronomers call the most accurate made so far, our Milky Way galaxy weighs about 1.5 trillion solar masses. That's the equivalent of 1.5 trillion suns. The astronomers gauged the mass of the Milky Way with the help of NASA's Hubble Space Telescope and the European Space Agency's Gaia satellite. Writing their findings in a study to be published by Astrophysical Journal, the astronomers remarked that of the galaxy's total mass, only a few percent comes from what they estimate to be its 200 billion stars and the 4 billion solar mass giant black hole at the center of the Milky Way. The study suggests most of the remaining mass can be attributed to the mysterious and invisible substance known as dark matter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News.